All right. Luke 18. He spake a parable unto them to this end. That men ought to always pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So, the fundamental lesson of that is that you got to be a pain in the ass when you're praying. All right. Verse 6 then. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or actually it says, find faith in the earth. Now, there's a couple interesting words. Lord here is kairos instead of theos. And kairos just is a word that means the owner or possessor. But it was, but the Holy Spirit gave that kairos the name for Lord or Messiah. And until we understand that we have been bought with a price, we're not our own, then this incredible mystery of God will remain a mystery, because we do things for ourselves as opposed to for us and ours, as opposed to you're gone. Now this is critical, and we're going to see that in the end, in this next word. So here is a word that means understand, comprehend. And then unjust is a word we're going to study today. Hear what the unjust judge saith. Unjust is the word adikia, Greek. And it means, it's where we get workers of iniquity. Now there are these, just for the record, let's go back and look at this real quickly. Daniel 9. What did I do with my this? I can never find Daniel. Where are you, Daniel? Daniel 9. What?
I said before Hosea.
I still didn't hear you.
Oh, I
tell whispered. You where Daniel 9.
All right. Verse 24, Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, so we have here to make an end of sin, to make an to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. So we have sin, transgression, and iniquity.
Right, and that is confusing to me.
Okay. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall. That's what the word is always used for. It means the fruit of the fall was self-consciousness, and I believe when there was self-consciousness, then tied in automatically to that self-consciousness is self-seeking. They're inseparable. You can argue about how much of the Bible would fit on the head of a pin and all the other stuff. But fundamentally, that's the issue. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall. Sin.
But this then covered Eve.
Pardon?
This then covered what Eve did.
Well, Adam, too.
Well, Adam, yeah. Pardon me.
It didn't cover it.
It
says to make reconciliation. Whenever the word reconciliation is used, it means an exchange. Now, the human race is gone because it's exchanged for those that are born again, born from above. His own right arm has gotten him the victory. But it's the instrument for iniquity is the mind. Yeah, for those that have the mind of Christ. It's not reconciled. It in no way justifies the use of the mind. He made an end of sin and made reconciliation for iniquity. And how did he say it? They make... to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now there's only a new creature. The old is gone. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, not new in time, but new in order, new in class, new in genus. He's born from above, born not from this earth, born from the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the tabernacle on earth, and the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple were all parables of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem has always existed. But the majesty and mercy of God was now, at Pentecost, the New Jerusalem came down. He saw the New Jerusalem descending as a bride prepared for her husband. Now, the New Jerusalem, because it's eternal, the New Jerusalem is in whatever time we are, in whatever place we are, the New Jerusalem is there. But never there when you use your mind. Your mind takes you off because it returns to iniquity. And this is what we're going to study right now. So, let's...
Before we go, what I don't understand is, seems like those... Did he fulfill six distinctly different things, or is
those six specific things, right, so, okay, were just so a...
The transgression would be the trespass, right?
Right.
The trespass, and the iniquity, as you're saying, is the fruit of the fall, subconsciousness. Then what is sin? I thought sin was
sin is
self for self.
Self-awareness. Self-awareness produces sin.
It seems like...
It's self-awareness. That with that is sin, and with that is transgression. Because one is what happened, the fall. At the fall, iniquity came into being. Iniquity then produced sin, which is who we are. And then transgression is not who we are, it's what we do.
Right. And so it seems to me that sin and iniquity are both the same thing, exactly the same thing. Fruit of the fall,
well,
subconscious. consciousness?
One is the act. Iniquity is the act. The fruit of the act is sin and transgression.
Okay.
All right. So let's look at a bunch. Let's go to Romans. Somebody, Pete, will you why don't you just unplug it? Because otherwise it's going to take time to do it. Okay, Romans 1. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The both words for unrighteousness there are the words for iniquity. And that word is adikia. So here we have, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And ungodliness, remember, is just wrong thinking. And unrighteousness of men, the iniquity of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they have managed to create a scenario in their mind where they can hold the truth and yet remain in unrighteousness. You understand that? It's a biggie.
No, I don't understand.
The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And ungodliness is wrong thinking. Unrighteousness is iniquity. Who hold truth. In other words, they think they have the truth, but they're having it in the basis of unrighteousness or iniquity. You understand? In Greek, it's much more colorful. But it's the idea that you believe you're doing it, you believe you have it together, but you're holding this truth in iniquity. You're keeping iniquity in the picture. Now, this is where the modern church is. They have the mind of Christ because think they have the mind of Christ, but they have the mind of Christ without emptying.
This is where the cross comes in, right here.
Well, a lot of people they think they hear the cross, they think they know the cross, but they're still holding the truth in unrighteousness.
Because they don't pick up the cross. I mean,
well,
they think
they do. That's the whole problem.
I don't know.
Do they really?
Huh? Yes, they really think they do. They really think that they've got it together.
Well, we think we do.
Well, there's no private interpretation of Scripture.
Right.
The cross is death.
Yeah.
But it's death to your mind.
Yeah.
Total death. No justification for ever again using your mind. That is the vehicle of iniquity. But you somehow managed to create a scenario in which you still think you can use your mind. Therefore, there's no power. There's no. It's just you're putting a label on yourself that you're not living. Let's continue. Let's go to the same chapter, verse. Well, let's just read that whole thing. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like him, like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator, the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet, or which is necessary. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, where it says they did not like to retain God in their where does it say that?
Verse 20.
Yeah, who did not like to retain God in their knowledge? It's an awkward translation, but fundamentally it says that they put God to the test for the purposes of proving him. You understand what that means? You respect your mind more than you do the scriptures, and so you put him to the test for the purposes of reproving him. And this is like, from God's perspective, that's like the worst thing you can do. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. And there, being filled with all unrighteousness is the word adiko. Again, iniquity. Being filled with all iniquity. They're still claiming it's God, but they're still using their mind. Backbiters. Oh, wait a minute. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's kind of indicting. Okay, now let's go to Romans 2. Let's just read it. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. We're just continuing down. We're going to read down, continuing this reading through chapter two, part of chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, that thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them whom by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and then the Gentile. There in verse 8, it's again, but obey, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness or iniquity. Is anybody, is this hitting anybody else as hard as it is with me? All right, let's go to Romans 3. We're going to read the first eight verses. For what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, but God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Now, in verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, in other words, if our self-seeking commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? So again, it's this, it's constantly coming back to this thing of iniquity. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, let's go to chapter 6. Well, this is a good one. We're going to read from 1 through 13.
Where are we going? Where are we?
Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, or by him, or by means of him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, on iniquity, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So again, the emphasis that we were baptized, but if you didn't get buried, you didn't get baptized. You just got wet. This is why the Jews baptized every year in the days of awe, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that's why we baptize every year. Because it's not the normal, so that the first baptism would take. You can only be baptized by what you understand as that which is evil. It has to be that which is good. I mean, you have to be gone. All right, let's go to...
Yeah, I find that to be my experience. I mean, that there's a deeper understanding of baptism at each time. And,
amen.
And I would hope, I would want it to be a deep understanding initially, but I don't think that was the case.
That doesn't happen very often. Now,
where are we going to now?
We're going now to Romans 9. Wait a minute. That's a good place to quit. We'll quit at 6:13 was where we wanted to read last. We're going to spend more time on this. It's kind of important. But it's important to see the three. Iniquity was the fruit of the fall. The fruit of iniquity was sin, who we are. And the fruit of that sin, or incomplete death, if you will, is unrighteousness, or trespass. I mean, it's trespassing. So we have sin, trespass, and iniquity. Iniquity first, sin is the fruit of iniquity, because it's you, and then sin is what you do, not who you are.
You mean trespass?
I mean trespasses.
What you do.
Sin is who you are. And that's why, again, you got to be careful. This one, who hold? What did it say? Yeah, it's for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness or iniquity of men who hold the truth in iniquity. They somehow manage to find a way to continue in iniquity and believe they're righteous. All right, we got a few more of those. Any response? All right, take it, big guy.